such wonderful messages of whatever happens in life, we have something that stands the test of storms. Today, I want us to explore what it means to be staying close to God. What might that look like in this journey we call life? We're going to do that in three different acts, if you will, or three different parts. We're going to be taken to a place where we see it lived out. But then we're also going to hear from this very close disciple to Jesus, one of which who gave us the gospel, but then also gave us sort of a commentary on that later on in his ministry. What does it mean when we think in terms of staying close to Jesus? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Acts chapter 8 today. We're going to go on a little bit of a journey. Philip was not an apostle. He was not one of the original 12 that were called by Jesus. He didn't even have a Jewish name. He was called upon to be a leader because the Jewish Christians were not focusing enough attention on the Gentile Christians. And so the church got together early on and they said, we need to make sure when we share this love of Christ that it's going to be shared no matter what side of the tracks you may be from. And so we have seven individuals that they appointed, one of which was stoned to death and he became the first martyr. Anybody remember who that guy was? Stephen, a good Greek name, also not from the Jewish side of the tracks. And the only other one of the three, except this one that I remember, is because he was in Lion King. And he was one of the two guys that always followed around the main character. So of those two names, which do you think is actually in the Bible? Timon, thank you. It's not Pumbaa. Pumbaa did not make the list, sorry, in Acts. But Timon, it's in there. So Timon, Stephen, and then we've got this guy. And this guy, we don't hear as much about of him doing, sacrificing his life, but we have two amazing encounters. We're not going to talk about his mass revival. We're not going to talk about the time when Philip was called by God to go and to speak to thousands at one time, and he saw a whole community be transformed for the sake of Jesus. But we're going to talk about a divine appointment. One that was set in motion when the Spirit spoke into Philip's life and says, I've got an assignment for you. Anybody happen to remember who this assignment is with? We don't get his name, but we certainly get his description. Anybody remember? An Ethiopian eunuch. And I am sorry we don't get his name, but we certainly know where he came from, and we know a little bit about, and then also we even know his job description. He was the treasurer for Queen Candace in all the country of Ethiopia, a high-ranking official in the government at that time. And it was in that setting that I believe one of the ways that we can stay close to God is to be ready for these divine appointments. I believe God will lead each of us to our own specific divine appointments. Now, Angel Stahl can give you an amazing example of this very thing. I believe she's on a divine appointment. Five? Are there really five? Are you sure there's, have you counted lately? Well, yeah, I mean, you brought in five more new ones, but yeah, the angels count in her household and in her life have, shall we say, expanded in many ways. And I think back to 2001, and Angel, there weren't that many people in our household to start with, but our three in our household turned to six overnight. And our life has never been the same since, either. I believe when God places people in your life, those can be part of these divine appointments. Christy and Jeff Allen, a couple of years ago, didn't somebody need a place to stay for a while? I mean, it was just like a random request out of the blue, and they said, well, I mean, we've got an extra bedroom. I mean, was it two guys or one guy or... Three guys. Yeah, three. They just opened up. Were they from another country? I mean, I can't even remember. They were from the United States. But yeah, they just sort of came, what, 5 months? What is it, Jeff? Texas and Florida. Yeah, yeah. Jeff and Christy were on some divine appointments there for just a little bit of time. I didn't have any idea about these guys, and they had a way of allowing God to work in that situation. Janet Stevens can tell you about divine appointments. She helps oversee a wonderful bed and breakfast here in Barber County called Angel Band Farms. Anybody been to Angel Band Farms? Okay, we've got about 50 more people that need to go out there. It is a beautiful location. Janet, would you say some of those folks that stop in there are divine appointments for you? You don't know what's going in their life before they get there. You don't know what has brought them to the point of needing to come away for a while. But let me tell you, they're met with love. Oh, and cookies too, and hospitality. Are we all ready for these divine appointments? Because I think it's in the answering those divine appointments that we literally find a connection with God that we could not find any other way. Our Secret Place devotional just a couple days ago gave me a little bit of opportunity to really resonate or to hear. The lady that was writing it said, there are times when I walk through life and I feel depressed. Life has me by the throat and I feel the weight of the world. And she said, you know, one thing that always seems to be a part of helping step through that is when I actually reach out to somebody else that may need something done too. She says, it makes no sense. How could my helping in the midst of my own crisis? She says, but that's how God works. You've heard me say this a few times. I will say it to my dying breath. I believe God wastes no experiences. Anybody find that true in their life? God wastes no experiences. Now, we may not have a clue on what that experience is all about. We may not know, once we got into it, what in the world did I even begin to be a part of? But there is something about staying closer to God that has a direct relationship with us being ready and open when He sets up His appointments. Now, the other two passages, we have the privilege of hearing from a fella who, if we look at all of who walked with Jesus, he's the one that stayed alive the longest. Matthew, Peter, James, Bartholomew, Simon, both Simons, Thaddeus, all of them had an opportunity to witness and share for Christ. But there is one whose days lasted into the, well, at least as old as George. And maybe even as old as Miss Jody Sperry back there. We're not sure how long John got to be this side of eternity, but let me tell you, it was an extended period of days. He could have been one of the youngest disciples when Jesus first called him. And you may not pay a lot of, I mean, really the only clue we get, the theologians base it on this fact. When Peter and the beloved disciple were both running to see Jesus' empty tomb, guess who got there first? The beloved disciple, John. So there's some that say, well, that's because Peter was old and he couldn't do it. You know, I don't know. I don't want to make too big of a case. That's why we know John was so young. But it is very possible that he was one of the youngest that Jesus handpicked when he started his earthly ministry. What we get to see here is a beautiful commentary on what John... on what John experienced over those decades. Not only the 3 years that he walked with Jesus personally, but then the decades after that where he continued to abide in Christ. And this is what he has to say. And I believe this part allows us to experience true love. If there's anything that John is about, it's an understanding of what love really looks like. Not a love that is based on your own self-centeredness. Not a love that's based on, I'm going to give as long as I get something back in return. Not a love that says, I'll love you if. It's a love that says, I will be with you. And 1 John 4:7 and 8, Don and I were talking about this in the Bible study Wednesday night. Sometimes we write little songs to help us remember certain passages of Scripture. And so the first two of 1 John 7, and I can give you pretty close. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. Beloved, those that love God, God is love. It's a great opportunity for us to know the essence of who God is, in fact, leads us to that path. Now, as we go on to look at 1 John, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What a wonderful big, not as big as Alex's word, but that's a pretty big word. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. You can say you love God all day long, but how is that love shown? It's when we extend that love to others. God's love abides in us. We abide with God and with one another. I really can't see how we are to stay close to God unless we also stay close to those he has put flesh on, that have arms and legs and noses and ears and mouths, that are all around us. And he says, if you will love them, then you are loving me. And it was a very different message. It's so easy for us to categorize. It's so easy for us to say, yeah, but you don't really understand. There are people out there that really aren't very lovable. Or, you don't understand. There are people out there that do very varied things that we shouldn't love them because they do them. But I see John speaking into his years of experience. And he says, you know what I have found over and over and over again? That love conquers all. Love is above all. And so if we are to learn how to stay close with God, we've got to learn how to stay close to each other. Now, I leave the last word this morning back from a time when John was remembering some of those things that Jesus specifically said. These amazing words of leadership and teaching, words that I am sure John heard not only in one particular setting, but in those 3 years when John and the other disciples were, now here's a good one, Alex, when they were in Jesus' peripatetic seminary. Anybody remember what peripatetic means? Walking around. Thank you, Judd Bracey. That peripatetic, all that means is you're walking around. So you say, well, Peter and John, they didn't go to school. They didn't have a formal education. Oh, sure they did. It was the best peripatetic seminary you ever saw. They learned by walking around with Jesus. So as Peter was doing that, as John was walking around, I get to ask Jesus one day, but I cannot imagine that this passage of Scripture was said only one time so that John could hear it. Because listen to the power of what we hear in Jesus' statements. Craig shared it with us already. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And maybe if we can just put a little star by that number 3, so that when we get into those times and we say, God, you don't know what's going on in my life. You have no idea. You're not talking about me. There's stuff that I need to get rid of, or I need to somehow fix. And I'm going to require so much pruning, there's not going to be anything left. Well, hold on to verse 3. Already you are clean, not because of what you've done, but because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, this is Jesus. He says, you want to learn how to stay close? I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, how much can you do? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. I think sometimes in my own journey, when I feel that I don't quite measure up, what this verse is saying to me is that God's just going to cut me off of the vine and let me wither. But I'm not connected to the vine because how good I have been or how bad I have been. I'm connected to the vine because he has spoken that into our lives. And we have accepted that connection. Now, are there times when I need pruning? Absolutely. Are there times when there needs to be correction? Absolutely. But don't think for a minute that he is trying to dispose of you because you have been found lacking. Because as I recall Paul saying very clearly, there is none righteous, no, not one. And even before we were here in our unrighteousness, Christ died for us. So, there are opportunities for us to be trimmed. But let me tell you, this does not mean opportunities for us to be removed from God's love. You might remember that stewardship reading that we had to start with. That was out of Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither height nor depth, angels, principalities, powers. Now, we can choose to not recognize that connection. We can choose to live in a life that we think we have to do it all on our own. And I'm not sure if you have been there before, but sometimes we get this idea, well, I got myself into this, then I'm just going to have to get myself out so God can accept me. That's wrong. That is not what I see John saying. John wants us to step up and say, God, I recognize that I have been powerless. I am powerless, and I will continue to be powerless over either circumstances or things that I end up doing that I should not be doing. But the promise that I have from His Word is that He is still in the restoring business. He still can restore in any and all circumstances. Had the privilege of taking a journey over the last couple days with my father. We decided to take a little trip back to Wirt and Calhoun County. I was raised in Wirt County. I bleed orange and black. Dad was raised in Calhoun County, and he bleeds red and black. The Calhoun Red Devils runs deep in my dad's blood. I'm pretty fond of the Wirt County Tigers. So, you know, it was only fair that we would visit both counties. We stayed at my sister's in Wirt County, and then we took a little journey on Friday. Went over to that other county of Calhoun. As Dad would tell you, it's the free state of Calhoun. It was up on the ridge one day, and some old farmer was up there, and some guy was saying, can you tell me where I'm at? He says, you're in the free state of Calhoun. They think independently up there in those hollers, and you don't tell them much what to do. And so anyway, so Dad will tell you he's from the free state of Calhoun. So we went up to Grantsville, and there's a little hospital there, Minnie Hamilton. In the hospital right now in the extended care is a lady who graduated from Calhoun High School in 1948. And probably some of you know about graduations in 1948, and some of you know about graduations even before then from high school. Dad was in the same graduating class. And so Irene Conrad is one of Dad's classmates. Irene was in our church at Rush Run for the 20 years that I was connected specifically with Rush Run. So it was great to go up and to visit with Irene. She couldn't believe that we just showed up there at the rest home and to be a part of just a few minutes. And her daughter is just as precious as Irene is. Janet, who is now nearing retirement, has, you know, kids 37 and almost 40 years old, I guess. But it was great to reconnect with folks that were so pivotal, not only in my journey, but folks that have walked down through the times of life with you. Do you have those folks? Do you have those folks that you know because they've been with you through good and bad and ugly? And there were times in Irene's life and in Janet's life where things did not always look the best. But I heard Janet say to my dad, she says, no matter what other people might have been saying. Louis and Louise Villers always loved us. So, I believe staying close to God means that we probably have to stay close to each other. And that we're not meant to walk through whatever it is that we're walking through alone. Is there going to be correction in the process? Is there going to be things revealed to me, to you, that may have been a blind spot for you at the time, or a blind spot to me? Absolutely. But I think the fruitfulness that comes is knowing that our experience can actually be a part of someone else's experience so that they can also learn. I have the privilege, a couple days a week at least, to engage in conversation sometime, but engage in physical activity all the time with Dr. Charlie Chin. Now, I can't stay with him when he talks about cancer research and the physics and the physiology and the chemistry involved in what he is doing to really bring cancer to an end. I actually just sit back and marvel of what, you know, what all is going on. But there is one arena in which we do enjoy companionship. Anybody know what that is? Table tennis. Table tennis. I appreciate Dr. Charlie Chin's love for table tennis. And I actually got into a philosophical debate with somebody the other day. It says, and aren't we so stereotypical? Aren't all Chinese people good at table tennis? Right? I mean, have you ever heard that stereotypical saying? And somebody in the conversation said this to me. He says, but can you understand that from the time they can hold a paddle, it is an opportunity for them to engage in that particular sport. And not just them, but the generation before them and the generation before them and the generation before, you know what I'm saying? I mean, is it genetically proven that Chinese are better at table tennis than, no, it's not. But let me tell you, there is something about being in a culture where that is not only a part of life. I mean, I think it was mandatory in my household that all four kids knew how to play ping pong. I mean, it was a rite of passage. How much more so should we have things like that in our community of faith? Shouldn't we be known as a place where we actually love one another? Not because we've always got it all together, but because we have been through the storms of life and we have not gone through those storms of life alone. I've always been told that you really don't have much to preach about until you get a little bit older. That there's a lot of theory that you can expound upon from your theological understanding. But when you get a few miles on you down the road, I think we come to appreciate what it means for Christ to abide in us and we to abide in Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Mystery of mysteries, God of all gods, help us to seek your wisdom by living into your truth and your truth. Your truth is found in the love we have for one another. May our love be fearless. May our love be without judgment. May our love call us into your ways of justice, your ways of practicing kindness, and your ways of building peace. Mystery of mysteries, God of all gods, we only know you in a glimpse, but we know you must. We know you most fully in the abiding love we have for one another, a love that comes only from you, who gave your life for ours. And all of God's people said,